healing into her life, so that's awesome. Brother Larry Young, one of our retired Methodist pastors who's not really retired, is going to preach this morning. Had a really strong word in the early service. Looking forward to that again in this service. So let's go to the Lord and prepare our hearts for this day. Father, we thank you, God, that you are good. We thank you, Father, that you would assemble with us this morning. And Lord, there's nowhere we can go that we can escape your presence. And so, Lord, we acknowledge that, Father. When we're in the car, you're with us. And when we're at home, you're with us. Lord, I pray that you manifest that presence this morning to where we can experience you, where we can make connection with you. And Lord, as we reach out to you this morning, your promise is that you'll draw close to us. So, Father, bring that about for your glory. Oh, Lord, I pray against any distractions this morning that may hinder us from getting to where you want us to be. So, Lord, just move in power. Have your way this morning. We just want to honor you and glorify you. God, I pray that our praises are acceptable to you. Oh, Father, we love you. We cherish you being here with us. And we declare that you're incredibly good. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. If you feel able to, go ahead and stand. Let's worship the Lord together.
I sing, oh, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. not die. Hallelujah, by and by. Fly away.
Savior Jesus Christ, a round of applause this morning. He is good. He is good. You may be seated. And children, y'all come on forward for the children's message at this time.
Glad to see you. All right, come on up. Excellent. Well done. All right, today I'm going to start with my poster. All right, is this something you can read?
Yeah.
Yeah? All right, what's this word?
Purple.
What color is this?
Green.
What color is this? What color is this? What color is this?
Purple.
What color is this?
Yellow.
What color is this?
Green.
You have to think about it, huh? I mixed up the words with the color that was on them. I have another question for you. If you see one girl push down another girl, who's the one who's being mean? Who's the one being mean? The girl that pushed?
Yeah.
Are we sure? Yeah? Are we sure of that?
Yeah.
Do we know what happened before she did the pushing? Yeah, we don't quite know what happened before. Was she doing something in self-defense? Was she in danger? We don't really know what happened before. We just saw one girl push another. I have another question for you. How about a boy? He's all excited. He's going to go outside to recess. And he walks out and he sees another boy in a wheelchair off to the side, and he keeps running. What do we think's going on there? Why did he keep running?
Because he was excited.
Do you think he didn't stay to play with the young man in the wheelchair? Because maybe he thought the young man in the wheelchair wouldn't be any fun to play with. That's kind of an assumption, right? To assume that just because he was in a wheelchair that he wasn't going to be fun to play with. We don't know what things are. We have to be careful with what we see, that we look a little deeper to see what else is there, that we just don't take our eyes and stop thinking. Jesus, I took my verse today out of John 7, 24. Stop judging by mere appearances, but instead judge correctly. This is a time when Jesus, the people were yelling at Jesus and upset with him because he was healing on the Sabbath. The Sabbath was a day you weren't supposed to do anything, but Jesus was healing. And Jesus, when teaching and talking, correcting them, that's what he said to them. He said, stop judging by mere appearances, but instead judge correctly. So my challenge to you as you go through your day, don't take what you see at face value. Dig a little deeper and find out what God wants you to see, what God wants you to take out of it. You need to trust and be sure that God will not judge other people the same way we would. So we need to be careful in how we judge them. We need to judge and take in things as if God was doing it. So my word today for you to go home with is the verse, stop judging by mere appearances, but instead to judge correctly. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, help us not to be quick to judge others. Please help us to know that God's will and behave accordingly. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Well, that's a good word for us adults as well. Amen. Amen. Well, once again, good to see you, online audience, online church. God bless you. Grateful that you've joined us this morning. May you feel his presence in your homes. I want to remind you to register your attendance with us at some point today. That would be helpful. I'm not going to look at the events in the bulletin other than point out one thing, a reminder of one thing. If you are new to our church, our pastor is hosting a discovery class next Sunday at 9 a.m. It'll run from 9 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. On the second floor, room 208. So if you want to know more about our ministries, about our theology, about Wiley Methodist in general, you can meet with our pastor during that time. And that'll be a good opportunity just to meet him, if nothing else. So anyway, let's stand and affirm our faith together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. I snuck in a word in that creed, that the quick and the dead. Why did I do that? I mean, it's on the screen. I guess I can't read. Just a lot of years of that. So anyway, yeah. Well, today is Sanctity of Human Life Sunday, and we want that to be our prayer focus this morning. Pregnancy Resources handed out these bookmarks some prayer points that we can pray for in regard to that ministry and other ministries that provide the services that they provide. And they do an awesome work, by the way. They counsel a lot of young ladies through the year, and they encourage those ladies to consider choosing life for that child. And a number of them do, so they're doing incredible work there. So I would like to pray through their requests this morning and also just pray for life in general. So as I do that, the altar's open if you would like to join me here as we pray, or you can remain in your seats, one of the two. So let's go to the Lord. Father, I thank you for life. Lord, you breathed into Adam, and he was a living being, a living soul. And Lord, the only reason we can continue to live is because you give us our next breath. So you're the author of life. And we acknowledge that. And Father, forgive us for being a nation that doesn't cherish life at every level. And Father, I know that in our nation that we've aborted a whole generation of leaders and doctors and lawyers and essential workers and teachers. Oh, Father, forgive us. And Lord, our hearts break for those young ladies who are struggling to make a decision in regard to that. Life's hard, it's difficult, and they're overwhelmed. We understand that. But Lord, I just pray for those young ladies, Lord, that you supernaturally break in and Lord, give them the courage to choose life for that child. And Lord, if they can't raise that child, there's a number of families that would love to have that opportunity. Lord, I just pray for a shift in our nation in regard to that. Lord, there's some pretty important Supreme Court cases this year. Lord, I just pray for wisdom for the court. Lord, I just boldly ask God to end abortion in America for your glory. Lord, I lift up pregnancy resources and other ministries that are on the front lines in regard to this. Lord, I know that they can grow weary and tired. Lord, I pray that they not grow weary of doing good, Lord. And Lord, the young ladies that they counsel, God, I just pray, Father, that they find healing and wholeness in those who have gone through that process. Lord, I pray, God, that you just free them up from shame, Lord, if they're struggling with that. Lord, help them to find hope in you. And Lord, if there's been some men that's also been involved with that decision, Lord, and they're feeling shameful, Lord, I pray, God, that they're drawn to the cross where they can find forgiveness and wholeness and hope and peace. Lord, I lift up our governmental leaders in our city, in our state, in our nation. Lord, if a mind shift is going to happen, it's going to have to be something supernatural. So we pray for that supernatural mind shift, where they'll come to the conclusion that all life is valuable. Oh, Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for this opportunity to pray. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you continue to convict us about this issue. Drive us to our knees. Help us not to rest if we're not interceding for life. Father, as we continue to worship you, I just pray you free us up to encounter you in a new, a deep, and a profound way. I pray you bless our brother Larry Young as he brings the word this morning. Holy Spirit, give us ears to hear the message that you're speaking to him. And we honor you and we adore you. Thank you, Jesus, for hanging on a cross for us. And we pray the prayer that you taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
Amen.
We'll go ahead and receive our offering at this time. If you have one you'd like to bring forward, you can do that, or you can give electronically. God bless.
I was sharing with the first service this morning that the Billy, you know, he shared from Scripture last week in his prayer time that, as Paul told the church in Ephesus, that we are rooted and established in love. And that love is the love of Christ. And so as we look at this beautiful golf course behind us and we see these trees and we know that their roots are under the soil, that their roots are established in the earth. And so when the winds come, the storms come, their roots are protected. Their roots are covered in the soil. And so though the wind may be scary, who that tree really is rooted deep in the earth. And so it does not have to be afraid. In the same way, church, we are rooted and established in the love of Jesus Christ. And so the winds and the storms of this life, they may look scary, they may stress us out, they may cause us to be afraid, but when we realize that who we really are is deeply rooted in the love of Jesus Christ, that is more true than what we see, what we think, what we hear, what we feel. The truth is that we are deeply loved, and who we really are is held tightly by Jesus Christ. And that always, he's the one that's fighting for us. He's the one always looking for us, seeking us out, hoping that we turn to him. Let's stand and sing this morning. You're the God who fights for me, Lord of every victory. Hallelujah. Won't forget the wonder of how you brought deliverance, the exodus of my heart. You found me, you freed me, held back the water for my release. Oh, Yahweh, 'cause you're the God who fights for me, Lord of every victory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You have torn apart the sea, you have led me through the deep. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you. by the hand. You marched me out in freedom into the promised land. Now I will not forget you, God. Now sing of all you've done. Well, death is swallowed up forever by the fury of your love. As you stepped into my Egypt, you took me by the hand. You marched me out in freedom into the promised land. Now I will not forget you, God. Will I see the all you've done? Death is swallowed up forever by the glory of your love. Cause you stepped into my Egypt. You took me by the hand. You marched me out in freedom straight to the promised land. Now I will not forget you, God. Now see the what you've done. You're the God who fights for me, Lord of every victory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You have torn apart the sea. You have led me through the deep. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's sing it out, church. You're the God.
Ransom me, and like a Good morning, church. Before I get into the message, something that I'd like to encourage you with. One morning, not long ago, my wife and I we'd been through this service, and we were getting ready to go home, and I just felt like the Lord was speaking to me. I didn't hear an audible voice, but in my heart, I really felt the Lord was saying, didn't the praise team do a good job today? Yes, Lord, they did a good job today. And he said, wouldn't it be reasonable that you would thank them for helping you worship? I said, that's a good word, Lord. And I said, I think I'll just go ahead and talk to him about that. He said, yeah, Larry, that's the point. So anyway, I spoke to a couple of our team members, thanking them for helping me worship. And it's a good word, right? So, as you leave on any Sunday, you see one of our team members, it'd be a good thing to say thank you, right? All right, we're going to be reading from Revelation 21, verse 5, and we've got that on the screen. You'll notice there the little letters NLT, that means New Living Testament, and that's what I commonly read and preach from. And so we'll read from the screens, so we'll be together. Now I've got really a whole bunch of other scriptures that we'll probably take a look at in this morning's message, but I'm not going to put those on the screen because I'm going to be trying to go sort of as fast as I can. I am one of those preachers, you cannot just cut me loose. You cannot do that. You've got to try to hold me to some accountability with time. So let's read together Revelation 21:5. And the one sitting on the throne said, "Look, I am making everything new." And then he said to me, "Write this down, for what I tell you is trustworthy and true." Amen, amen, amen. What is happening here is Jesus is saying, "I'm going to do a new thing." In fact, he says, "I'm going to make everything new." Now then, I want to read to you from 1 Chronicles chapter 16. "Search for the Lord and for His strength. Continually seek Him. Remember the wonders He has performed, His miracles, and the rulings He has given. Only God can do new things in times like these. Only God can make the difference. And what Jesus says here in Revelation is, I'm going to create a new season in your life. I'm going to create a new season. Now, after 2 years of what we've been through, I believe that we need a new season. I believe a new season is in order, Lord. Go ahead. But the one thing that we have failed to see often in the church is that Jesus says, here's what I want to do, but I expect your help. I expect you to pray in what I want to do. That's why in the Lord's Prayer we say, Lord, your will be done. You see, it's a prayer where we're saying, Lord, we want you to do whatever it is that you've got in mind, and we will partner with you. Now, although I believe that the Lord has wanted to use our situation, sometimes we forget that. So God wants to do a new thing, but sometimes the Lord decides that He's going to do something in order to gain people's attention. He wants to understand, He wants us to understand that He is still in charge, that He wants to do new things for us. I believe that COVID has stretched around the world for one reason, that every human being would be found on their knees before the Lord, asking Him to help, to heal, to restore. In Psalm 63, it says, "Oh God, You are my God. I earnestly search for You. My soul thirsts for You. My whole body longs for You in this parched and weary land where there is no water. I have seen You in Your sanctuary and gazed upon Your power and glory. Your unfailing love is better than life itself. How I praise You." Wow. Boy, when the Lord writes something, man, doesn't He do good? It's awesome. It's awesome. And yet what this scripture says is, I earnestly search for You. The Lord desires for us to come after Him. Now, in several translations, that passage, "searched for You," comes out, "seek the Lord." And if you look in the original language, where you see the phrase, "seek the Lord," "search for the Lord," it shows up 313 times. Now, I believe with all my heart that if God says something, He means it. If He says something twice, He really means it. So if He says something 313 times, do you agree with me, Robert? It's important. It's important. And if you go back and look in the dictionaries and look at language studies, what you discover is where it says seek or where it says searched, what it means is to do that is to aggressively pursue. Aggressively pursue the Lord. That is to make the Lord a priority in your life with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And you know, there's plenty of people that drift from the Lord. Friends, we all do that from time to time, do we not? Do we not? Look, it's happened to me, and I believe it's happened to you. But here's what the Lord says. The Lord just says, look, I'm not going to hold that against you. Return to me. Seek me. Search me out. See, we need to learn the lesson that when we're separated from God, when we've wandered off from the Lord, that makes us weak with God, and it makes temptation strong in our lives. And so the opposite is true when we are strong with the Lord. When we've sought the Lord out, temptation is weak. When we're walking with the Lord, we overcome temptation. We gain victory over sin. We need to seek the Lord. Now, how is it that we can do that? Well, the Lord's given us great tools to work with. We have prayer. We have our Bibles. We have worship and praise. We have giving and serving. All tools at our disposal. And when we use those to seek after the Lord, we find ourselves in His presence. We find ourselves understanding more about the Lord and how things work. That is, when I seek the Lord says, then I'm going to open doors. When I seek the Lord, He does new things. Was talking with Cody this morning, and the Lord brought him to my mind that we're talking about new things. Well, Cody is a person who was brought here by the Lord. I don't really know where he came from or how far he came, but I know he showed up here, and I know God moved in his heart, and he and his family joined here, and then we found him in our worship team. A new thing in his life. It was a new thing. Friends, I want to tell you, God has got a new thing for you. God has got a new thing for you that you could experience him in ways you never knew before. Now, sometimes I've already said it. Sometimes the Lord will allow a negative thing, a struggle, a problem. But here's the point. It should, anytime there's a problem or a struggle, it should drive us to our knees. It should take us right to the Lord. We need to see that, not get worried about the negative, but say, Lord, you want my attention? You got it. Because He wants to do a great new thing. And we stand at the beginning of a new year. I believe God wants to do something in this year that He's never done before. I believe He wants us to join with Him in that. I do believe that God is not done with America. I believe God wants to save America. I believe that God wants to send revival and awakening, and we get to be a part of that. We get to be a part of that on our knees. Lord, Your will be done. Lord, bring it on. Lord, I'm going to give myself to You, and I'm going to ask You, Lord, to give more of Yourself to me. Psalm 9, those who know Your name trust in You. For You, O Lord, do not abandon those who search for You. Anyone who searches for the Lord will not be disappointed. If we seek the Lord, He will come to us. He'll make it happen. I need to cry out to the Lord. You see, I need to be honest with myself. When there are struggles, what can I do? Very little. If I need help, I usually cannot help myself. I need the Lord. I need the Lord to help me. And I've seen amazing things in the Lord. I've seen God do amazing things. And I believe that you have too. I'm going to tell you, in the past few months, think about the number of baptisms that we've had here. Those are lives which were faced with eternal damnation, and now they live in hopeful salvation. It's a miracle. It's a miracle that a human being torn by sin, messed up, can be found in the Lord. And God will do a new thing. He will do a new thing. Psalm 14, the Lord looks down from heaven on the entire human race. He looks to see if anyone is truly wise, if anyone seeks God. God looks down on the whole human race and said, is there anybody with a brain? If there is, they'll be seeking me. They will seek me. And the Lord is ready to help us. The Lord is ready to do for us. The Lord is not too busy to give us His attention. He desires an intimate relationship. And the Lord can put that plan, that intimate relationship, into being if we will but seek Him. If we'll say, Lord, let's try it Your way for a change. Let's try life like You want it done. And God has a plan for our life. We have this banner over here, Jeremiah 29:11. Fantastic verse. But it just says God has got a plan. Now, it doesn't go all the way, but I'll help you with that. He has a plan for our lives. He has a plan for our marriages. He's got a plan for politicians. He's got a plan for doctors. He is the ultimate planner, and He's got it all laid out. According to the Bible, it's written in a book. Every day of your life is written in a book. Now, what we have to do is to say, Lord, I want the good days. I want to have power over the bad days. And He is perfect to make that happen for us. In this new year, we can experience new things, new plans, new ways. Whatever it is we need, God can bring it to bear if we will but seek Him. And while we seek Him, He's looking for us. When I was in high school, I was in a UIL competition, and they were debaters and extemporaneous speakers and poetry. And my teacher said, Larry, you've got the perfect voice for poetry. Right. And I said, okay. I mean, I had to do it. She was going to make me do it. But she found a poem for me. And the name of that poem is The Hound of Heaven. You may be familiar with it. The bottom line is, it is a story. It is a story about a man who tried to run from God, and yet God chased him down like a hound from heaven. Now, let me tell you, I would have been perfectly happy with a different poem. But as it turns out, that's the one I needed. And then when I found that God was chasing me, what I had to do was stop and allow Him to catch up. I hope you've seen the series, The Chosen. If you have not, you need to do that. You can either buy the DVDs, or I'm told by my wife that you can now find that online for free. It's a wonderful story of Jesus. And yet there's a subplot that I dearly love in this series. And that subplot is this: Jesus looking for His followers. as he comes in contact with people. Not all of them, but some of them, he says, follow me. And they do. They follow him. You see, they have been looking for something. In fact, the Jewish members there, they say, we've been praying for hundreds of years for the Messiah to come. And now he's here. Well, there's another subplot in God's plan. And here's the subplot in God's plan. He's looking for you. He's looking for you. He says, if you'll join me, if you'll partner with me, I'll make your life new. I'll make it like you've never known before. I'm looking for you. The only question is this. In this new year, are we looking for the Lord? Are we seeking Him? Psalm 27, do not turn your back on me. Do not reject your servant in anger. You've always been my helper. Don't leave me now. Don't abandon me. O God of my salvation. So again, Psalm 27, even if my mother and father abandon me, the Lord will hold me close. Amen and amen. The Lord will hold you close. Seek Him. Look for Him. Allow Him to do new things in you. Psalm 14, the Lord looks down from heaven on the entire human race. We've already seen this. He looks to see if anyone is truly wise, if anyone is seeking Him. You see, the Lord misses us when we're not around. The Lord truly misses us when we don't seek Him, when we fail to draw near. Now, it's been a number of years ago, but the Lord called me to a task, and I didn't want it. He called me to a task, and He spoke to my heart. Again, not audible, but to my heart. And I would find myself in situations, restaurants, grocery stores, gas stations. I'd find myself in situations and I would see somebody, a man or a woman, and I'd be drawn to them. I couldn't take my eyes off of them. I was just so captivated, and yet I didn't know why. But then the Lord, once He got my attention, once He put me on someone else's attention, then He would say, I want you to deliver a message for me. And I said, Lord, that is awesome that you would do that. And I'll help you look. We'll find somebody to deliver that message. The Lord said, Larry, are you going to do it or not? I said, yeah, I'll do it, Lord. I'm not too comfortable, but I will do it. And the Lord said, I've got a message for them, and I want you to go and talk to them and deliver my message. And most often, the message was this: I miss you. I would simply go up and say, I believe I have a message for you. I'd like to deliver it. And they'd say, well, okay. And I'd say, the Lord misses you. And here's the great part. The Lord said, okay, you're done. Move on. And I would do that and leave these poor people standing there figuring out why the insane man had come and talked with them. You see, it's not that everybody's lost. It's not that we're lost. It's not that we're not saved. My friends, most of you, you got your ticket to heaven. You've been born again. However, the Lord wants more. The Lord wants more. He wants to do a new thing in you. He wants to do a new thing in you. And then He wants to do a new thing in all of a group of people, like this whole church. Or someplace else where there's a group of people. He wants to do that. He wants to do a new thing in a nation. And I believe that you believe with me, America needs a new thing. America needs a new change, a new hope. He wants you with Him. The Lord wants you as a partner in His work, His new thing. He wants you a part of His family. He wants you as a king with His son, as sons and daughters. He wants to advance His Father's kingdom, and He wants us to help Him do just that. My brothers and sisters, we know that the Lord Jesus is King, right? He's King, and we belong to Him. You are a prince or a princess in His kingdom. That means if He says, I want you to go do something for me, we get to go say, the King sent me. The King sent me. And we do what we've been asked to do. And what is Jesus saying? In this new year, work with me. Help me to do a brand new thing. Help me to do a brand new thing, to bring people into a saving grace. God says, seek my face. And the only response that is acceptable for you and me is yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Psalm 34. Even strong young lions sometimes go hungry, but those who trust in the Lord will lack no good thing. Wow. Wow. Those who trust in the Lord will lack no good thing. We need God's hand on us for this new year. Matthew 6:33. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and He will give you everything you need. So how do we live righteously? That's the rub. I mean, how do we live righteously? Seek God. It's really simple. Seek God. Seek first the kingdom of God, and He'll give you everything you need. You may be in a tough situation. Some of us have been in tough situations in the past year or two. We may be in a situation where we feel stuck. We may feel that we're in an addictive type situation. The Lord says, seek me and I will set you free. Nothing can hold us when God turns us loose. The Lord will withhold no good thing. That includes His whole kingdom. It becomes a part of our inheritance. It's so important for us to see the truth that God wants us to partner with Him. To bring the lost, to bring the backslidden, that's those who've drifted off, and we all know what that's about, but we have a chance to draw near to the Lord. For those who've turned away, will we seek the Lord, and will we share the gospel? So what is the gospel? Jesus loved you and died for your sin, and will make you whole again, and will make you safe with Him for all eternity. Will we remind people that the Lord has not forgotten them? Will we let people know that we have not forgotten them? You know, that we can pray for them. When we pray for them, we can say, prayed for you this morning. You know, some people say, I find that a little offensive. Let me tell you something. Any of you want to pray for me, cut loose. I need the Lord. And so we can do that. You know, the amazing thing is through my life, I've come across a lot of people where I felt like the Lord just said, ask them how you can pray for them. And I would say, how can I pray for you? And let me tell you something. To this day, I've never had anybody say, oh, nothing. I don't have anything. No, I have people saying, pray for my business, pray for my family. There's always something. I had a friend who's a preacher, and he was preaching at a friend's church, and he said it came to the end of the service, and he said they opened the altar, and he said there were people that came, and they were crying, and they were on their faces, and they were on their knees praying at the altar, and he said he asked the pastor of the church, he said, what is this all about? He said, well, he said, this is what we call a mourner's bench. He said, what is that? He said, these people are mourning over their lost children, over their lost grandchildren, over their neighbors and their friends that don't know Jesus. And so they come and mourn and say, oh God, save them. Save them, Lord. Please. Let me tell you, I've never heard this altar called a mourner's bench, but I do believe that what needs to happen, as Jesus says, I want to send salvation to thousands, to millions. And I believe that we can come and say, Lord, I'm in. Lord, I'm going to ask that your will be done. Lord, I'm going to ask that you send out the cry. I've got to finish up here, but we cry to God for the lost, and we refuse to leave God's face until we have held up our loved ones before the Lord. In Psalm 40 it says, but may all who search for you be filled with joy and gladness in you. May those who love your salvation repeatedly shout, the Lord is great. The Lord is great. In the early portion of this country's history, there was Methodist all over. But they weren't just called Methodist. And that's before United Methodist and all the different flavors of Methodist. No, they were called Shouting Methodist. They truly were. Why is that? Because they would shout praise to God when somebody got saved, when somebody's heart was transformed, when Jesus did a new thing. So let me ask you, my brothers and sisters, how is your seeking going? The Lord desires to bring us to new things. He wants to heal. He wants to restore. He wants us to be filled with joy and peace. If we seek Him, He will come. We've already looked at Matthew 6. Seek the kingdom of God above all else. Live righteously, and He'll give you everything you need. Matthew 7:7. Keep on asking, and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be opened to you. Friends, do you want a great new year? Praise the Lord. Seek the Lord. He'll give it to you. He'll make it possible for you. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Seek the Lord. He wants it. Now we're going to come to a close here this morning, and what I want you to do is to take 20 seconds, 30 seconds. I just want you to be able to say to the Lord, honestly, Lord, I don't fully understand all that you're doing, but I see that you're doing something. And I want to be a part of that as you have desired me to be. So I'm going to surrender, Lord. I'm just going to be yours. I'm going to do whatever it is you want me to do. Because, Lord, I want to see a new thing in my country. You may need a new thing in your marriage. It's okay. He's got one. He's got a new thing for you. He's got a new truth. Bow your heads. Talk to the Lord about what's on your heart. How do you become a part of the new thing that Jesus is doing? I thank you, Lord, for this day. It's beautiful. But I thank you, Lord, that we have heard your word, and that is a beautiful thing. I thank you, Lord, that you have given us a new hope, that you have shown us that we can be partners with you in all that you do. I thank you, Lord, for the new thing that we haven't even seen yet, but we're going to, because we're going to wait for you. We're going to receive from you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We praise you. We worship you. We surrender to you. And we seek you with our whole heart. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
I searched the world, but it couldn't fill me. An empty man's praise and treasures to be are never enough. And you came along and you put me back together. Desire is now satisfied here in your love. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you. There's nothing. Nothing is better than you. Turn morning to dancing.
Pray together. Father, we give you thanks for this day. And Father, I'm going to ask you in the name of Jesus to bless every family here today, every person and every family. I'm going to ask you, Lord, to do a new thing in them. And I'm going to ask you to make it plain and make it clear and let each one be lifted up as we seek your face. This we ask in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Amen.
You are dismissed. Billy will be out to greet you.
This is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wiley Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He loves you and He wants to be your friend and your Savior. If that is you, I ask you to pray this prayer with me. Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior. And wash me as white as snow, in Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, I invite you to do four things. First of all, tell someone, share this decision with someone. We are better together than we are alone. And then also, I ask you to consider being baptized. Jesus himself set the example for us by being baptized himself, and he encourages us to do the same. And then I ask you to consider finding a Bible-believing and Bible-preaching church and plug in. Again, we are better together than alone. And then finally, I ask you to get into God's Word. It's not just because it is makes us a better person, but also because it is the living Word, and God speaks to us through His Word. The Gospel of John is a great place to begin. If I can help you be of any sort of assistance through this process, you can contact me at my email address, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.